to talk a little more tonight about the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of believers. As I mentioned last Sunday night, the Holy Spirit is the most important person in the world today. This is the Holy Spirit dispensation. And all the work of God in the church or in your individual life is being supervised and directed by the Holy Spirit. That's true from the conviction of sin, clear on through the process of your salvation, and from then on through your life, as long as you live for God. The Holy Spirit will be guiding your life, working His works in you. It said in the 8th chapter of Romans and verse 14, I believe, this text is, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now this text tells me something. It tells me that only people who will allow the Holy Spirit to lead them are going to be sons of God. Because God said in His Word, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own way." And we can see what a mess people make of their lives and the problems they get into and the condition that develops in the world, everybody wanting to go his own way. That's what they're doing. That's the spirit of this age. Everybody do his own thing. And that's the reason that there's such deep problems existing in the world today is because people have missed the way. They've missed their mark. But God told them before that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own way. So we ought to count that good instruction coming from God's Word and just quit trying to do what God said couldn't be done. Now the Word of God says that with God all things are possible. Now when He with whom all things are possible says there's something that can't be done, you and I just well stop trying to do it. It just can't be done. And everybody who wants to do their own thing and go their own way is going to miss the mark. God says you can't direct your own way. Not in man that walketh to direct his own way. Now, we don't like that, I know. Most of us folks, we've got enough pride or self-esteem or something about us that we like to feel like we can do things on our own. But if we'll just come down and accept God's Word and recognize I need some leadings and help from a source outside of myself here, we'll get a lot farther in the right direction. Last Sunday night, we discussed the thought of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. Comfort meaning strength. Not just strength only, but strength by being with. By our being in contact with the source of strength. God is the source of all power and all strength. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us into that close contact with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, that strength can flow from them into our souls continually and enable us to meet our problems in life and overcome them. Then we discussed the thought of the Holy Spirit as our remembrancer. You remember Jesus said that he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And what we have recorded in God's Word is that was brought back to the remembrance of the apostles that wrote this sacred record after Jesus was gone from them. The Holy Spirit refreshed it in their minds till they were able to write it and leave a record for us. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring to your remembrance the things that you have stored away in your heart. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, things that we have read out of God's Word and heard preached from God's Word and that has reached us by different means concerning God and His Word, we've opened our heart to that and stored that down in our souls and acknowledged that to be truth and right and good, and we've accepted that. That isn't right up here in our minds all the time. But it's down here. We accepted it and it's stored away down here. We presented the thought last Sunday night as the heart, the human heart, as a big warehouse. We're storing up the supplies down in there, and the Holy Spirit as the supervisor of the warehouse. He knows where everything is down there. We don't have it in our minds, and it may have been long since forgotten so far as our minds are concerned. But when the time comes that we need that, the Holy Spirit will go right down there where He's got it indexed and filed away down there and get it down there and bring it right up here. Put it right in your mind so you'll know how to meet this situation that you're involved in right now. That's the way that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against the devil. He said in the 59th chapter of Isaiah and verse 19 that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. This 26th verse of the 14th chapter of John, where he speaks of the Holy Spirit as our remembrancer, also speaks of him in another capacity, in a very important capacity, and that is as a teacher. He says he will teach you all things. Now, when the Holy Ghost teaches you something, you'll have it. What the Holy Ghost seals on your heart and mind, you don't get away from very easy. Amen. That's going to stay with you. What we need to do is to open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit to teach us truth. Teach us right. Paul said, "I have learned." Paul learned some things. Paul had a teacher that taught him in such a way that he learned. But you and I have the same teacher. Let us make good pupils like the Apostle Paul did. And let us submit ourselves to the admonitions and instructions of God's Word by the Holy Spirit that we might learn some things that we need to know. You know, when the Holy Spirit teaches people, they get that. I can stand up here and teach you, but you'll probably forget a lot of what I say. Maybe it'll go right on by you. Sometimes people go to meeting and sit and listen to a sermon, and when they get home, they couldn't tell what the sermon was about. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you something, you'll get it. That'll be sealed upon you in a very definite way. And that'll last. You've got something solid to stand on when the Holy Spirit teaches you something. In the 16th chapter of Matthew and verse 18, in this case, there's been a dialogue going on between Jesus and his apostles. And Jesus is inquiring, whom do men say that I am? And they told him the different opinions that people had. And Jesus nailed them down a little closer than that. He said, whom do you say that I am? Peter, who seemed often to be the spokesman for the whole crowd, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that upon this rock, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now my thought in this text is that when Jesus sat upon this rock, we might say, well, Jesus was the rock. He was the foundation, chief cornerstone. That's true. The church is built on him, but it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But I gather from this text that the church is built not just upon Jesus, but upon a right relationship between the members of Christ and himself. Us having a right relationship with him. And this was brought about by divine revelation. The Spirit revealed that to this man. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say at this point that divine revelation is the foundation stone of our relationship with Christ, and from there on to the church of God. Divine revelation. I've seen people that come among the saints and they say, well, I've been here and I've been there and I've gone around and around, worshipped here and there. One man testified he'd worshipped with 36 different denominations. Finally wound up with the saints. But he didn't fit exactly. Well, they say, I've been here and there and I like this. I believe there's more truth here than anywhere that I've been yet. I'm going to settle down here till I find something better. But they don't stay. Those kind of people don't stay. Sometimes they say, I've been here and there, and I just like the atmosphere here better. Friendly people and common people. I just like the atmosphere here better. I'm just going to settle down here and stay till I find something better. But they don't stay either. But you take a person that's actually had a divine revelation to his soul and the Spirit has sealed it on him, a real revelation of the truth and of the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ, And the gates of hell can't prevail against that. You've got somebody hard to move. When that happens to him. I remember holding a series of meetings one time. This has been 40-some years ago, I guess. Long time ago, anyway. I was living in Anthony, Kansas at the time. I left there in 43. And there was a woman that accepted the truth there and came with the saints, but she testified after a while that through a message that was preached during that meeting, that God just opened up her understanding, and she said, "He revealed the church to me, and it is the most beautiful picture I've ever seen." Says, "I just wish if the Lord had ever let you and anoint you to do it, that you'd preach that very same sermon again, just like you preached it that night." Well, that woman stuck. She'd had a revelation of the truth. Spirit of God had taught her something. And on down the line, she had some experiences that was clear off course with us as far as our standards and our teachings are concerned. But she got the idea through them. I could do this, I could do that. People were offering her outs. She said, "I know." Said, "I could do this, I could do that," but says, "I wouldn't fit." And says, "I want to take the way that fits. Make me fit." And she just went to the altar and sought God. God taught her that. I hadn't taught her that. She was in my congregation, but I hadn't taught her that. But the Spirit of the Lord taught her that, and she got it, and it stuck. Some folks got saved in a meeting that we held in Glendale, California, when we first came there in 1943. This was a young couple. Well, they were wearing gold band wedding rings. Nobody said anything to them. The saints don't do that. That's not our custom, but nobody said anything to them. And it went on for several months. And they were just prospering in the Lord and growing in grace and coming right along. And well, the way I thought about it, God isn't paying any attention to that. They've got the fruits there. Why should I worry about it? One night, the assembly meeting was going on down in Los Angeles, and this young brother was sitting right by the side of Brother Stover, and the Lord was anointing richly in the song service, and Brother Stover raised his hand while they were singing. He noticed Brother Stover's hand up there, and it just registered on him, said, "If I lifted my hand up there by the side of his, it wouldn't look like his." And he just reached down and took that thing off. The Lord taught him. When the Spirit of the Lord teaches us something, we can get it. And we don't have anybody to blame for it, see? The Lord is our teacher. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, He's our teacher. And He will teach us in the way that we should go. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 14, we have recorded this. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, folks, if you want to know the scope the abundance of the provision and supply that God has made for us in the plan of salvation and that Jesus has purchased for us, just be taught of the Spirit. He'll teach you the full extent of the provisions that are available to you, the privileges that you have through the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. What's been purchased for us. Now He says, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? That's the way our intellect reaches us of the material things of this earth and of the things pertaining to this life. The spirit of man perceives them. And we could not know them except by the spirit of man. What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You and I cannot know the things of God through human wisdom, through learning. In the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 21, he says, for when in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God, then it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Now, note, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. God has so arranged it and so set it up that the world through wisdom knows not God. He says that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ but by the Holy Ghost. You and I could not intelligently and effectively confess Jesus Christ as God's Son and our Savior except by the Holy Ghost, teaching us, revealing the truth to us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We receive the Spirit of God, and through the teaching that the Spirit of God gives to us, we can know the things that are freely given to us of God. Otherwise, we'll miss out all around. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, folks, here's where we miss the mark many times. Failing to compare spiritual things with spiritual. When you try to compare spiritual things with literal things, material things, you get wonderfully confused and all mixed up in a whirl trying to figure out what this means and what that means. But when we learn to compare spiritual things with spiritual, then we're going to be able to discern spiritual truths. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And who is it of this world that the things of God doesn't sound like foolishness to? God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. The world doesn't think like God thinks. The world doesn't think like saints think. But the way saints think and the way saints do and live is just all foolishness to the people of this world. One man who wasn't saved, and he was way off from being saved. This scripture goes on to says neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But his wife was saved. And he was wanting her to do this and that and different things that her convictions and conscience wouldn't allow her to do between her and God. So he was kind of in a rage over some things one day, and his wife called my wife to come over there. And she went over there, and this man was demanding, "Show me in the scriptures, or this is wrong, or that's wrong. Show me in the scriptures." He had challenged his wife to do that, and she didn't know where to find the scriptures, but she thought Opal would, and so she called her to come over. So when Opal walked in the door, why, he challenged her. Says, "I want you to show me in the Bible," and just throwing his finger around and really all worked up. And when he kind of let up to where Opal could say anything, why, she says, "Now, my friend," says, "are you saved?" He said, "No." Well, she says, "I can't show you this." Says, "The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." And said, "You'd never be able to actually understand this." Says, "I can't show you this." Folks, there are things that you and I will never see till the Holy Spirit teaches us about them. The Holy Spirit may teach you through the Word as you read it. He may teach you through a sermon as you listen to it being preached. He may teach you through your meditations. He may teach you when you're praying and reveal truth to your heart. But whenever it is and whatever it is, you're going to get it, and you'll get it right. In the 16th chapter of John, verse 12, Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." I like that thought. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will not respond to anything but truth. Therefore, he is a safe guide for us. He is a safe guard against deception, against misunderstandings and wrong understandings. He's a safe guide for us to follow, because he never responds to anything but the truth. I have sat before now and listened to messages preached under the anointing of the Spirit. The message was that, an anointed message. And there was just boom, boom, just the little man jumping in my heart. Just open response to the thoughts as they came forth. And sometimes things have come forth that were brand new to me. I never had heard any teaching on that line before. Never had heard that point brought out. But as the Spirit kept responding, I says, "That's truth." And I just accepted that along with the rest. But sometimes I've listened to messages that were anointed, and the preacher would miss the mark somewhere and bring out something that was just a little strange. And there was no response, no vibration. And I just said, well, I better put a little salt on that before I take that down. And no response. The Spirit of God will faithfully lead you and me in truth. If we are attentive, if we are responsive to the impulses of the Spirit, He'll be a safe guide for us to follow. Now He tells us something else important here. He will guide you into all truth. There's a text over in the Old Testament, and I don't recall just chapter and verse for it now, just where it is. But I know what it says. He said, I brought your father, speaking of Abraham, I brought your father from the other side of the flood, over across the river, into the land of Canaan, and led him throughout the land of Canaan. Now that's interesting to me. Led him throughout the land of Canaan. This text says he'll guide you into all truth. He took Abraham all over that country, showed him the whole thing, made some promises to him regarding it. We get the idea sometimes that if we knew everything in the Bible, we'd be just as smart as God is. I say that's wrong. God never put in everything in the Bible He knew. He put in the Bible what He wanted us to know. And if we followed closely enough and were responsive enough, it would be possible for us to have a good general understanding of every principle of truth in the whole Bible. He'll guide you in all truth. Now, if that sounds a little ambiguous, let us recognize this as Jesus saying this, and He said He'd guide you in all truth. He'll cover the ground. But I was thinking how important it is that we have a guide. When we enter this area here, that we have a guide that knows his way around in there. There are people in the world, that's a profession, and they make good money too, serving as guides to people on hunting trips and hiking trips and different things in the wilderness areas and in the desert vastnesses and the mountain fastnesses, where people who don't know the area couldn't find their way around at all. And there are people that serve as guides, and it's actually dangerous to go into those areas without a guide that knows his way around. Down in Louisiana, there's one of the biggest swamps in the country down there. And they told me when I was down there that men that were born and raised in that country, right there, and had been in and out and around this swamp all their lives, they didn't dare to go in there without a compass, something to guide them. One man went in there once without a compass, and he was quickly lost, born and raised right there. Been around there numbers of times, but he was quickly lost. And he wandered and he wandered. Finally met up with another man. The other man had a compass. and he told him he was lost. The man said, "Where did you come into the swamp?" He told him where he came in and where he had tied up his team and wagon out there. The man said, "All right, come with me. I'll take you back to your team and wagon." Well, they started out and he argued with the man all the way. He said, "I know this is not the way. This is wrong." The man said, "All right, just come right on. I'll get you to your team and wagon." "No, you won't get me to my team and wagon going this way. I know this isn't the way." After a little bit, they came out in a little clearing there, and there was a team and wagon tied up there. And the man says, "Is this your team and wagon?" And he looked it over, and he was so bewildered by then that he hardly knew. And he said, "Yes, that looks like my team and wagon, but I don't know how they got here. I know I didn't leave them here at this place." People can get wonderfully confused just wandering around. When we enter into this area, we need a guide that knows his way around. I was in the city of New Orleans one time. I've been in New Orleans numbers of times, but I had a few hours there this time. New Orleans is one of the most historic cities in the South. Quite an interesting city. And I wanted to see some of it. Well, first of all, I realized I don't know my way around here. And I don't know where the places of historical interest are here. And if I were to find them, I would not know what the history connected with them was. So I solved that little problem by just going down and buying me a ticket on a sightseeing bus, and getting on that bus with fellows that knew their way around. One of them drove and the other one lectured as we went around, and they visited many of these places of historical interest and lectured and told the history of them as they went and stopped here and there, and we got to see many things. And when I got back, been on that bus about 2.5 hours, I realized I'd seen more of New Orleans and knew more about that city than I would have learned by myself traveling around there for 30 days or more. Folks, God can get you and me places if we'll just let Him guide us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to guide us in the way of truth and to teach us and to reveal light and truth to our souls. And He'll get us places if we'll let Him. And we can learn more about the ways of God in a little while being taught by the Holy Spirit and we could in a long session with the most able theologian in the country. Is letting the Holy Spirit teach us and reveal light and truth to our souls. The Holy Spirit is an essential in your life if you're going to make a success of living for God. If you're going to go God's way and not miss the mark, the Holy Spirit is an essential in your life. I can safely say, on the authority of God's Word, you'll never make it without the Holy Spirit to guide you through this world, through all the confusion there is here. You'll never make it. When God's Word said, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God," that's stated in its positive form. The negative form would be, those who are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God. They just can't maintain a relationship with God without being led by the Spirit of God. They can't get to God without being led by the Spirit of God. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of John, verse 5, He says, because I have said these things to you, He'd been telling them about Him going away, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, it is needful for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I go away, I will send Him unto you. Now, when we consider the close relationship that existed between Jesus and His apostles, His love for them and their love for Him, and how completely they depended on Him for everything. And the Bible said, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He loved them right on. That adds considerable emphasis to this text of Scripture. It's needful for you that I go away. When I go away, it's going to break up this contact that we have here, and this kind of relationship we've been having here for about 3.5 years is going to break that up when I go away. And sorrow filled their hearts and sorrow filled His at the breaking up of that relationship. But He said it's needful. It's necessary. Because I've got to go away before the Holy Spirit can come. And if I go away, I'll send Him to you. You see how important Jesus figured the Holy Spirit to be in the lives of believers? It warranted the separation of Him from His apostles in that close relationship that they had had. And the love they had for each other. It warranted the severing of that and the breaking up of that to have the Holy Spirit to come. When He comes, He's going to do some things. He'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe on Me. Of righteousness because I go unto My Father. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The whole plan of the preaching of the gospel and its effect is covered right there. That's the whole scope of it all. It'll be accomplished through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an essential in your life if you hope to make any success of living for God. Amen.